ABC Radio Australia.
We start in Tonga this morning, where votes have been counted, seats have been filled, and there's anticipation over who will form government and, most importantly, be elected as Prime Minister. Under Tonga's constitution, an interim speaker will soon be appointed to oversee the nomination and secret ballot for the next Prime Minister. So what happens between now and the selection of a new PM, and who are the front runners? To find the answers to those questions, let's cross over to the Tongan capital, Nuku'alofa, to join ABC's reporter there, Marion Kupu. Marion, fefe. Absolutely. Thank you for joining us this morning, Marion. I know that we're in the post-election period. Do you mind walking us through, though, the key constitutional steps that will have to happen before Tonga has a new Prime Minister?
Yes. So since Tonga now is, like what you said, is into the formal post-election process. So within 7 days of the official announcement of the results, that's since last week, Thursday, the King must appoint an interim speaker, and this person cannot be an elected MP. The next step after electing an interim speaker is the return of the writ. Now, just to be clear, the return of the writ simply means the election is officially finished, the final results have been certified and handed back to the King. That's when the countdown to choosing the next Prime Minister actually begins. Now, from the return of the writ, the interim speaker then has 10 days to invite all 26 elected members to submit the Prime Minister nominations, each backed or endorsed by 2 MPs. Within 3 days of those nominations closing, the interim speaker calls an elected members, or the elected members, which is the nobles and the people's rep, to vote by a secret ballot for a prime minister designate. And whoever gets more than half is recommended to the King for the formal appointment. So that's the path we're on now, Aggie.
And that looks like that could take up to maybe a week or two?
Yeah, most likely, yes. Most likely, yes.
Marion, there's already public interest, though, in who might put their hand up for Prime Minister. I'm thinking realistically, what kind of candidates could emerge and what factors could influence their chances?
Yes, like right now, Aggie, there are already early signs of who might be stepping forward. Obviously, 2 nobles have been mentioned, the current Speaker of the House and also the former Speaker and former Prime Minister of the House were mentioned. Lord Vaya made this publicly a few weeks ago, although neither noble has officially confirmed this. There's also other speculation around the current Prime Minister, Isaac Eke, of course, and also former Prime Minister, Sausi Sovaleni. But because of the previous tension, Aggie, that we all know between Sovaleni and the King, many MPs may be reluctant to support Sovaleni. But, if the nobles do push their noble candidates, this also can mean this is a signal that their support have shifted away from Weke. And so, of course, the overall atmosphere here, including the frustration from the ongoing fuel crisis that we are currently experiencing, which caused voters delays and transport challenges like since last week, will also feed into how the MPs think about leadership and stability moving forward, Aggie. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to, alliances and numbers, who can pull both the nobles and enough people's rep together to form a solid majority in Tonga's government.
Yeah, as you say, talking about elected members, I know they've already started talking and forming alliances, but what key political dynamics, should Tongans be watching in the lead up to actually selecting the next Prime Minister?
I think one of the key things to watch is the nobles' deaths, the nine nobles in parliament. They have these nine seats and they only need five people's reps to cross over to form a government. So the nobles just need five MPs from the people's rep to cross over and they have a government. We also have five new people's MPs in this year, in this election, and no one quite knows where they stand politically. They could become, you know, the swinging votes in the prime minister race. Another major point that we should be also looking at, Aggie, is the speaker's role. Now, since the 2010 reform, only a noble can be speaker, and that's the big constitution reform that we taken in 2010. Only a noble can be a speaker of the house. So if nobles take the speakership and then most likely, let's say, take over the government, it will raise real questions about the separation of powers. We're talking about check and balances and whether there's enough independence between the parliament, the cabinet, and the crown. So the alliances, the noble strategy, and how the new MPs position themselves in parliament, those will all shape who becomes the next prime minister. So these are what that we, as the people of Tonga, will be watching on in the next few days, few weeks to come.
I want to loop back, though, Marion, you know, to last week's election. Unfortunately, you know, almost half of Tonga's registered voters didn't actually vote. So I'm just wondering, why was the turnout so low? And I know you did mention fuel, but was there any other issues?
Yes. So there is also a concern from the people, Aggie, that some of the people that I mentioned are registered. So let's say the numbers that are registered and read out, which is almost 65,000 people. It is said that some of those registered people are either diseased or migrated. So in other words, the registered voters list should be updated from the Electoral Commission. I had friends telling me that they registered this year for the first time to vote, only to not have their name on the list when they came to vote. So there is some mistakes and some things need to be updated with our Electoral Commission list to come.